Today is Wednesday, the 16th of November, 2012. Next year, in 2012, England will be hosting the World Olympics. Roy Primitt, who lives in Orwell, was very fortunate to be involved with the 1948 Olympics, held also in this country. Roy, can you tell us how old you were then, when you were involved in the 1948 Olympics?
Yes, I was 18 at that time, but I was very lucky to get a position at the Olympics. It all came about because in 1945, 3 years earlier, the naturalist Peter Scott stood as a Conservative candidate in the election at Wembley North, which was where I lived. All of our family got involved in the election, and I delivered leaflets and did some telling at the local school where voting was taking place. And then 3 years after that, in the summer of 1948, when the games were on, I had been at that time 1 year in the sixth form, and I didn't have anything to do over the summer holidays, and I knew that Peter Scott was something to do with the Olympics. So I wrote away to him and reminded him how he might remember me and asked if I could help at the games. He replied that he was running the yachting at Torquay and couldn't help, but forwarded my name to the Olympic Committee in London. The net result was they offered me a job working at Wembley throughout the games. I started working in an office in the Wembley Pool Building 1 week before the games began. I was checking the accuracy of the programmes against a massive tome that had been produced by the Germans after the Berlin Games in 1936. Each event had its own programme and had to have all the previous winners of the event since the modern games began in 1896. I worked under Mr. Elliott, who was a journalist and himself on a short-term contract. By the time the games began, on my first Saturday, we had moved to another building at Wembley. It had been the post office for the exhibition when that had been on the site. We were on the first floor, and on the ground floor under us were the army with a mass of teleprinters to collect all the results in from all the venues. By this time I'd been given a pass to travel anywhere on London Transport free of charge and a pass to go to the competitor stand at each of the events. Our department had the responsibility of filing all the official results, of distributing the medals to wherever they were to be presented, and of giving out complimentary programmes. All the staff that we had were university students and were billeted all over London. And accommodation was a premium at that time in London. This meant that students were billeted all over the town. And I was the only one who could get into the office early in the morning and could stay late at night. I was not personally involved in taking round the medals. I would get in early in the morning, open the post and deal with any that I could cope with, usually people requiring copies of a programme. Mr. Elliott would bring in a copy of the morning's Times newspaper and I would check the official results with him to see that we got it right. After all, they were the professionals. Then I would distribute round copies of the day's programmes to sites for VIPs or competitors to pick up. That job would finish by lunchtime and I was free to go with a pass to go anywhere and see any event that I fancied until about 6 o'clock. After six, I went back to the office and filed all the results that we had been sent during the day. I was not alone on this job. Most of the others had left by 9 o'clock and I stayed on and the results stopped coming in, often as late as 12 o'clock. As a result of all this free time and a free pass to go everywhere, I saw all that I wished, the athletics in the stadium, the swimming and the boxing in the pool, the fencing and the wrestling in the old Palace of Engineering, which was a building left over from the Great Exhibition. The swimming and diving took place in the pool in the first week. Then the pool was covered and a boxing wing was set up over the pool for that to take place. I saw the hockey final in the stadium. I got on my bike and saw the marathon from the start in the stadium, from two places round the course, and then was back in time to see Cabrera, the Argentinian, win at the stadium. I saw Fanny Blankers-Koen, the Dutch athlete, win her races, and Arthur Wint in the 400 metres was probably the one who most impressed me. On both the opening ceremony and the closing ceremony, I was in the centre of the stadium as a gopher, running round for messages that anyone wanted taken anywhere. On the final day, one of the South American teams turned up for the final parade without their flag. And the only one that we could find was was amongst the flags that were flying around the top of the stadium. So it was my job to climb up, walk round the parapet, get to the right flag, take it down so they could parade with it. I also got my brother a job in the stadium on the final day, and I think he thoroughly enjoyed that. This is something I would willingly have done at all for nothing, but in fact they paid me £5 a week for that job. The games were very much a make-and-do affair, and because of the shortage of accommodation, visiting athletes were housed in local schools. Kingsbury County School, which was the school that I'd attended, was home to the Swedish athletes. Our classrooms were converted into dormitories, and the playing field used for practice and training. The local open-air swimming pool was used for swimming practice. There's a great deal of difference today in the setup in East London, and I look forward to seeing some of it.
Thank you, Roy. That was very, very interesting.